Our Bible reading this morning, our adventure through Romans, takes us to Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 23. Paul writes this: "Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies, to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we know we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, your slaves are the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you get then from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So let us pray. Lord Jesus, may you speak to us this morning. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our souls to you. Amen. 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 Now, in 1979, Bob Dylan released Slow Train, his first album after he became a Christian. The first track has the following lyrics: "You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody." And I think Paul would very much agree. In today's reading from the letter to the Romans, he explores the question of who are we going to serve? Now, so far in this letter, Paul has argued that no set of rules, not even the law of Moses, can make us righteous. They can always succeed in showing us how far short we fall of God's requirements. Now, Paul says we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. But Paul has talked about how our salvation is by faith in God, just as it was for Abraham right back at the beginning, before the law even existed. He is beginning to look at the consequences of that salvation. And to sum up his whole train of thought is structured his answers around a series of theoretical objections. Maybe they were even actually objections that Paul was hearing from people he encountered, his opponents. Now, Paul makes it clear that God's grace doesn't mean that anything goes. The argument he tackles runs like this: if grace is good and it's God's response to sin, should we sin more as we can have more grace? Now, that's a really silly argument. It's about as sensible as saying that because the fire brigade are our heroes at putting out fires. We should start more fires, therefore they can be bigger heroes. Sin, even though it's forgivable, damages people and relationships, sometimes irreparably. It's never what God wants for us. Now, earlier on in this letter, Paul has explored how in our natural state, we sin, and so are enemies of God. But in today's passage, he describes this as being slaves to sin. The language about being slaves has a very different impact on you and I than it did for Paul, when slavery was very much an integral part of everyday life. But we do use this metaphor of being a slave to fashion, or maybe something else, in much the same way as Paul does when he talks about being a slave to sin. There are two different things we need to kind of highlight about slaves. First, they're owned. That is, they belong to someone and they do what they are told by that someone and by no one else. So if we are slaves to sin, then sin rules our lives and we keep on doing what they tell us. We keep on sinning, in other words. But God has decided a way to be reconciled and forgiven through faith so we can escape from the owner, sin, and become slaves of righteousness. We can't work our way to God's salvation. It's a free gift, as Paul says, which God makes available to each of us through grace. Now, grace is an expression of love. Undeserved love that sometimes is rejected love. Grace is love expressed in forgiveness and generosity towards strangers and enemies. Grace is God Almighty loving each one of us eternally and unshakably, regardless of whether we have been loving, generous, and forgiving to others or not. And being often, quite often it's not. Regardless of whether we have loved God, God loves us. Grace is both the world spring and the outcome of the new commandment which Jesus gave that his followers would have. We must love one another with the same love that he shows us. Sin doesn't cause grace any more than good works does. God loves us. God's love for us is the same whether we sin or not. The grace of forgiveness is simply how that love is expressed in the circumstance of our sin. Since sin is always bad, there is no excuse for continuing. A response to God's gift of grace is to, with gratitude and obedience, to sin no more. Paul expresses this in the idea that we are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness through grace. So we're slaves to grace. If we are slaves to grace, then grace is our owner. And grace tells us what we must do and must not do. There's no room for another owner. We can't be a slave to grace and a slave to sin. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, it's as if we died too, and we're included into his new life when he rose from the dead. Now, in baptism, like we saw last week, are a symbol of death, so there's no need to behave as if we're still under the power of sin. Our baptism marks our change of ownership from sin to grace. We are to act and live as those who have come through baptism. We've stopped being slaves to sin. We don't need to take orders from sin anymore. So what is this grace that we are slaves to? What would our lives need to look like for someone to describe us as slaves to righteousness? Now, to live a life of grace means to listen to the voice of grace, our new owner, and obey the command of grace, which is to live as Jesus loves. How that works out in our own lives depends rather on our circumstances. We will know the kinds of circumstances where sin tries to take back control. And we can try to avoid them or listen harder to the teaching of grace. Now, to do that, we need to be steeped in scripture and in prayer so that we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more clearly, pointing us in the way of grace. But love is a positive command, not a negative one. We must avoid sin, but we must also listen to that voice of grace telling us what's good to do. And we must seek out situations where we can be healthily present to support each other. Paul spends the final part of his letter, fleshing out the sorts of things that it means practically, what it looks like practically to be a slave to grace. And paradoxically, it actually leads him back to the law. And he writes that love is the fulfillment of the law. So we must look at this law, not because it can save us, but because it shows us the way to live our lives, much more lives that demonstrate grace. Now, we're all going to have to serve somebody. Let's make sure we're serving the law, the Lord, as slaves of righteousness, as slaves of grace. Amen.